KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we still have dense fog here in Atlantic. It's 38 degrees with visibility right around 1/10 of a mile. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. More than 100 homes in southwest Iowa still can't be reached due to flooding, so FEMA is extending the deadline by which residents have to register for federal aid. The deadline is being pushed back from May 22nd to July the 1st. FEMA spokeswoman Deanna Frazier said she understands the agency is probably not the first thing on the minds of most people after they've been displaced.
They're just trying to get through their lives day to day at this point, and so we want to extend that deadline to help them get every dollar that they're eligible for from the federal government.
Frazier said people need to register to be eligible for rental assistance and grant money to repair their homes, and now they have more time to do so.
By extending this deadline to July 1st, that gives people a little bit more time to understand what kind of position that they're in, and also to understand what may be available to them.
The U.S. Small Business Administration has approved 13 disaster loans for flooded businesses in the region, totaling $1.8 million. Representative Dave Seek of Glenwood says leaders from Hamburg and other southwest Iowa towns have complained to him about dozens of local businesses being turned down by the SBA for federal aid.
And a lot of times it's the way they apply. I mean, they don't apply right, or they don't fill out the paperwork right, because they don't know. I mean, they've never had to deal with the government before.
Businesses that are denied can follow up with FEMA at a local flood disaster center to see what went wrong. They can also get help from the Small Business Development Center at Iowa Western Community College in Council Bluffs. Federal drug enforcement officials say nearly 9 tons of medication was collected last month in Nebraska and Iowa as part of a program that allows the public to turn in unused, expired, or unwanted prescription drugs. The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration says more than 5,600 pounds of medication was turned in at 47 sites in Nebraska during the DEA's Drug Takeback Day held April 27th. In Iowa, 11,680 pounds of prescription medication was collected. The DEA says since the program began in 2010, Nebraska has collected more than 94,000 pounds of discarded drugs, while Iowa has collected more than 135,250 pounds. The program is intended to curb prescription drug abuse and overdoses, along with accidental poisonings. Officials in northeastern Nebraska say a South Sioux City police officer and a suspect have been injured in a shootout that occurred outside of a bar and liquor store. The Sioux City Journal reports the shooting happened around 2 a.m. Saturday when police were called to Los Amigos for a man holding a gun. Police say the first officer to arrive on the scene confronted the man, and the two exchanged gunfire. Police Chief Ed Mann said that he could not provide more details about how the shooting began or who was the first to fire. The officer and suspect were taken to a nearby hospital. Their names and medical conditions have not yet been released. The Nebraska State Patrol is investigating the shooting. Officials say a dog disease that can be passed to humans has been confirmed in Iowa. The state veterinarian, Dr. Jeff Kazin, said several cases of canine brucellosis have been confirmed at a commercial breeding facility for small dogs in Marion County, which is in eastern Iowa. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship says it's notifying people who have custody of the exposed dogs. Both the animals and the facilities are quarantined while the dogs undergo testing. Signs of the disease in a dog include infertility, spontaneous abortions, and stillbirth. State health officials say symptoms for humans would include fever, sweats, headache, joint pain, and weakness. The department says the threat to most pet owners, though, is very low. Dog breeders, veterinary staff, and anyone who comes in contact with blood, tissues, and fluids during the birthing process may be at a higher risk. Local school boards would be able to add 15 minutes to the maximum route time for students under a rule change given initial approval by the State Board of Education. Travel time is now limited to 75 minutes for high school students and 60 minutes for elementary. Department of Education Rule Coordinator Nicole Presch said they had quite a bit of discussion with several groups about how to handle the travel time.
One of the discussions was, do you get rid of the ride times altogether and do you leave it up to the locals? And so some folks didn't want to do that either, right? They didn't want kids being on school buses for, you know, longer periods of time because that's not necessarily good for the student, and they wanted to make sure that the students weren't on school buses that long.
Presch said this allows the school district some room to make their own decisions based on the input of parents.
That can be approved by the local board. And beyond that, if a district feels like the 15 minutes is not enough, they can still come to the department and then apply for a waiver beyond that. So they're not hamstrung necessarily by the 15 minutes, but it gives them a little local flexibility so that they don't have to come to us and ask for a waiver.
Education Department Transportation Director Max Christensen says it's become more of an issue for smaller districts.
We get more requests all the time simply because, you know, you've got schools that are consolidating and whole grade sharing, that sort of thing, and that just adds to the length of time that kids have to travel.
Another rule change would require that the two yearly inspections include all vehicles used for student transportation. Christensen said they're now limited to inspecting only vehicles used as school buses.
Which means that vehicles being used for activities do not get inspected at all.
He says the activity vehicles are often vans or Suburbans.
And those vehicles maybe have, you know, a rust problem, bad tires, something like that, and the vehicle maybe is not such that they want to repair those vehicles, so then they go ahead and use them for activity vehicles, which really to us doesn't make a lot of sense because these activity vehicles are being driven further and at a faster speed than what route vehicles are.
And they're also asking that the inspection fee be raised from $40 to $50 effective July 1st. The inspection fee has not been raised since 2013. The Board of Education will hold a public hearing on the proposed changes on June 25th. In other news from across the state, a Cedar Rapids woman who gave a wanted man a car ride to a hotel will spend 3 months in federal prison. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
28-year-old Sadia Raquel Watkins admitted to giving a car ride to a motel to a federal fugitive, Kelsey Beckett, in August of 2016. U.S. Marshals say Watkins put the motel room in her name after a deputy U.S. Marshal had warned her that Beckett was a fugitive and that Watkins should contact him if she learned of Beckett's whereabouts. The deputy U.S. Marshal says Watkins smoked marijuana with Beckett in the motel room. She then became a fugitive herself. I'm Dar Danielson.
A man being pursued by the Iowa State Patrol late Saturday night in central Iowa's Warren County was killed when the pickup he was driving went out of control and crashed into a tree in New Virginia. 19-year-old Jacob Brian Fejeran of Sheraton, who was wearing a seatbelt, was driving a 2017 Chevy pickup westbound on County Road G76 at a high rate of speed, trying to elude an ISP vehicle with its lights and siren on. As the pickup entered the city of New Virginia, it ran a stop sign at the intersection of West Street, or CR 45, and continued at a high rate of speed for one block, where it vaulted over Border Street and entered a private yard. The pickup then hit a large tree before coming to rest. Fejeran died at the scene of the crash. It happened at around 11:35 p.m. on Saturday. Davenport school officials say several students had to be treated after a school resource officer deployed pepper spray during an incident at the Central High School. The incident happened on Friday. The school district says there was a disturbance in the third floor hallway, and the officer responded with the use of pepper spray. Several people reported having trouble breathing and were treated by the school nurse. Officials say windows were opened on the third floor to help air out the building. There were no reports of any serious injuries. And career counselors and recruiters say 2019 college graduates will be hitting the hot job market if they're ready to begin their careers. Bill Watts is the University of Nebraska at Lincoln Director of Advising and Career Services, and he says this year's graduates will have the best chances to land good jobs that he's seen in 20 years, calling it the market pretty phenomenal. The National Association of Colleges and Employers reported last month that hiring of college graduates will go up 10.7% this year from last year. Engineering and computer science grads are in high demand, but advisors say liberal arts majors can maximize their chances by exhibiting their ability to think critically, communicate, and work with teams, as well as getting work experience. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.